I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Tuesday, the 31st of October, many Protestant churches around the world celebrated Reformation. And the Reformation began in Europe on the 31st of October with Martin Luther nailing this 95 theses on the door in Wittenberg. Now, we just come down from Alice Springs, where our daughter is deputy principal on one of the Lutheran schools, and she said, I must be Martin Luther. So there were 300 kids sitting there, and I had from Pastor Mike, from Bishop Mike, I got a big rope, a black rope, which he got from his grandfather, who was also a Lutheran pastor, and I had a monk's wig and a cap, and I went in there, and I spoke in German, because I come from the same area as Martin Luther. So, and my daughter said, there are some kids there who understand German. So eventually, I was told that I'm in Alice Springs, and I was allowed to nail the thesis on the door. We got from the service yard a big wooden door, and it was fun. But believe it, the year first and year two, they asked my daughter, Is that really Martin Luther? Is he 500 years old? There you go. Anyway, the Reformation in Europe, or starting in Germany, influenced most European countries. And it wasn't just Martin Luther. There was Zwingli in the German, Swiss, and Switzerland, and then there was John Calvin in the French part of Switzerland, and many others developed from those three leaders. And it led a split of the Catholic Church in Europe, in Western Europe. That's why we are called Protestants and the others are called Catholics. But the most important denominations which emerged immediately were the Lutherans, the Anglicans, the Reformed Church. Now, Reformed Church is not such a good name known in Australia, but the Baptists, the Church of Christ, even the Pentecostals, they're all Reformed. They all come from that tradition. And then, of course, the Calvinist churches and the Presbyterian churches. The Presbyterians, first of all, followed Luther, and then they switched over to Calvin. And it was established by historians that the Reformation was finished 130 years later in 1648. That's all the history you get. It was Martin Luther didn't want to leave the church. And we weren't called Lutheran in the beginning. We were called the leaders or the churches of the Augsburg Confession. And many Western European Catholics were concerned about what was happening in the churches. The most important thing what was questioned was the malpractice of selling indulgences. If you give me money, your sins are forgiven. You even give me another penny, and your grandfather's sins are also forgiven. Now, that of course is not biblical, and it was just a trick to make money for the church. And before the Reformation, many leading clergymen were corrupt, taught wrong doctrine, and were only interested in their own well-being. And the reformers used the word of God to fight against this wrong teaching and selfish practices. And this brings us right to the text today. Jesus warns his disciples of false teachers. He did that all the time. And people who wanted to use the church for personal gains. However, in this text today, he actually says something different. He does not criticize the Jewish leaders for false teaching. He says, they are in the seat of Moses. In the seat of Moses means they got, at Jesus' time, all the scriptures we had was the Old Testament and the Torah, the law. And Jesus said, They have got it. Listen to them. But don't do what they do, because they do not live according to the word of God. This gospel text of today, it speaks not only to the time of Jesus, his disciples, because it wasn't so much for the Jewish people, it was for his disciples. He was on the way out, he was on the way to the cross. And then, of course, you have the medieval church. And that was a long process in the European church, that they were corrupted and polluted. And it took some time. Prophetically, Luther was, his coming was foretold by a German who was in prison, who eventually ended up to be burned on a stake because they say he is people who are against God. A heretic. Thank you. So, and it wasn't just Luther, there was Zwingli, there was Calvin, there were others, and they all kind of questioned. And when Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door, it was in Latin, of course, it was to be studied, to be read, to be discussed, and then the Reformation started. And of course, another main reason was that the clergy of the Catholic Church, there was no Roman Catholic Church, it was simply the Catholic Church. Everyone belonged to one church. From the Orthodox from Poland, there's the Russian Orthodox Church, and then the Greek Orthodox Church, and from there, everyone west was Catholic. And the Pope was sitting in Rome. The leaders saw themselves as the Holy Spirit only works through them. And they used Paul saying, it seemed to be good to us and the Holy Spirit. And that's what they were kind of saying. Anyone who was in the clergy, even the monks, they had a right to tell the people what to do and what to believe. But what did Jesus say? He said, show ordinary compassion to the ordinary people. And we can learn from the gospel reading of today. And we can learn from our historical past. Do not think that the history doesn't count, because some people think the Holy Spirit only began to work when people started to talk in tongues in America. People have spoken in tongues ever since the time of Christ and Paul. It's simply not true. And the Holy Spirit corrected the church during the Middle Ages. That's the Reformation. And it's still reforming us today. What did Jesus say? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's a clear direction, as much as he says, you know. When he gives the Great Commission, look at me, teach all the people what I have taught you. But obeying the word of God is today easier than it seemed to be in the time of Jesus, because the followers from Christ did not have the Holy Spirit. And of course, in the Middle Ages, the whole church was polluted by wrong teaching and wrong attitudes. And the Reformation brought that out again. But you must also realize that the Reformation is actually a work of God. He used people, yes, he uses you. But God is the one who does the work. And he organizes everything. And for us today, it should be easy to follow Christ, because Jesus promised to be with us, to help us, to guide us. And we know this is true, because he gave us his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And in case you wonder about your pastor, he's already named. But you're not ready yet. Sorry to say that. You still haven't finished all your grief. You're still wondering what you should do, what will the future bring. However, God has already appointed somebody, and the time will come when you know to call that person, and that person will accept. Because that's how God often works. If you get a pastor immediately, you do much, Milo did that, and he did that, and he did that. But when the time is ripe, when Milo is okay, and you are okay, then you will get a new pastor. In the meantime, you have to do with people like me. So. But look, the Holy Spirit is the power source given to us at the day of Pentecost, and everyone who is baptized and believes has access to that power source. It's like switching, putting a plug in the wall. And of course, He helps us. He shows us our sins. In that confession which we say, one woman said once to me, we say every Sunday the same. I don't sometimes know what sins to confess. And I said, just ask the Holy Spirit. She came to me after the service and she said, you're right. He pointed it out to me. Immediately I knew what to repent of. I said, so there you go. The Holy Spirit shows us our sins. He leads us to repentance, forgives our sins, and changes us to be gentle and humble in heart. Gentle and humble. And I said earlier that the historians consider that the Reformation was completed in 1648. Well, that's another thing. But I remember, and the Holy Spirit, the point is I'm trying to make, the Holy Spirit reforms us all the time. And I remember when Pastor Kevin Helbig came here, and after some time, he was asked by more conservative Lutheran pastors about his practices. And Rev Kev said, I'm only continuing the Reformation which started with Martin Luther. How can you argue? How can you argue? And there's a second point in our text. Jesus warns church leaders, ordained or non-ordained, not to think that God has given them a position of superiority. He also warns leaders to practice what they preach. And Jesus warns us not to think more of ourselves as teachers or our titles. Some people like titles, but I personally have never considered that important. In my first parish and in the other parishes where I was, it was always the same course. They would all call me pastor, not Dieter, pastor. And I said to them, especially people who are in the same age group as me, I said, you can call me Dieter, you don't have to call me pastor. I said, the kids, until they are confirmed, they call me pastor. It's like they say to the teacher, Mrs. So-and-so, or Mr. So-and-so, they need to also learn of respect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with teaching children respect. I said, but the moment they are confirmed, they are my brothers and sisters, because they are confirmed their Christianity. So some people sometimes refused, like one woman said, I don't know if I could do that. I said, but you're my sister. So it took time for the older people who were so used, so set in this, that you have to kind of put that pastor up there. And, oh yes, and if he falls from there down, yeah, well, then we can gossip, you know. It's just people. But I said earlier on also that the church in the Middle Ages, the clergy, from the Pope right down, they said that the Holy Spirit only works through them. So people never even thought about the Holy Spirit in their life. They didn't know the Bible, because the Bible version in Europe used was the Vulgate, which is written in Latin, So if you don't know Latin, you can't read it. So you had to ask a priest or a monk or whoever, and they had to explain it. So that was the attitude of the Catholic Church leaders. But the Reformers, all of them, established again the priesthood of all believers. The priest of all believers is that every Christian is a priest. It doesn't mean that every Christian should lead worship service. All churches train their people and they have to go through examinations and so that they behave properly in that place and do lead the service according to what the church thinks it should be. But at home, you read your Bible, you read your devotions, and you know what God is saying, because all the time, as you read it, the Holy Spirit will give you insight, and you will pray, and he will guide you in your prayers. It started with the Reformation that this came back in the church. Martin Luther was mad about education. The ruler of Saxony sent him out, and he said he came back, and in the language of the day, he said, "They are just like fat pigs, those priests. They don't know the Bible and they don't know what to teach." So he got a job, first a small catechism, which was for house fathers, for fathers who could teach their family and their children the Word of God. If you know that, you have got the Bible in a nutshell. Then he wrote a large catechism, which was for the priests, and which then later on became pastors, so that they also, it was explained exactly what is the teaching of the Lutheran Church. But many reformers, they wrote, Martin Luther translated the Bible from the Greek text, not from the... He may have used the Vulgata to say how did they do it, but he went straight back to the original Greek and he translated it into the German language. They had a Dutch scholar. He had developed a new Greek dictionary and he used that. And so for the very first time, the Germans had again a Bible which they could read. And they didn't need anyone to explain it to them. But I'm talking about all the reformers wrote pamphlets and books. And of course what happened then, it was also 50 years before Martin Luther nailed the thesis on the door, the Gutenberg printing press was developed. The first time you could exchange printing things and it couldn't be printed. And of course, you could print a thousand of them in no time at all. So these things went all over Europe, and people were reading. And of course, what happened is, and this is the question, did the Holy Spirit also initiate that? People learned to read. Literacy rate doubled and tripled because they wanted to read. So often we don't see the Holy Spirit working in the background. And the printing, if you want to realize what a printing press was, for the younger people, the internet, whatever you do, smartphones, all this stuff, that was the printing press at that time. Because suddenly people could read the Word of God again. And I don't know, do you think that God uses the internet today through the priesthood of all believers? How many things have you already read on the internet which explain the Word of God? There's plenty of that stuff there. And now people can read it which would never go to church. They're just looking for something and suddenly it comes up and they read it. Is the Holy Spirit, is God using all that stuff? Is it perhaps engineered by him? I don't know. It's an interesting question. But let's return to the text, not so much about that. Jesus said that leaders should have compassion with everyone else. And he points to the Pharisees And he says, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. What happened is, God gave Moses the law. This is what the Israelites should do. And then, of course, the Pharisees, they put a wall around that, or a fence around that. That meant you couldn't just go straight and say, what is God really saying to us here? No, you had to go first of all past that. And it was difficult for people, because they put another 610 laws on top of the laws of God. And of course, Jesus said, they do nothing and are unwilling to lift a finger to help the ordinary person. It's the same again in the medieval times. The same Reformation wiped it away. We need to be careful in the church, because the government is putting a lot of stuff onto us, on all the churches. And they are not doing much either. But we need to just be careful that that doesn't affect our worship life. Going back to the leaders, Jesus calls us to be servant leaders, not selfish leaders. And he means not just pastors or leaders of churches, everyone. An elder, for example, hasn't got a special status, but he has got a special servant opportunity. To be on a church council, to teach children church, to lead Bible studies, older women teach younger women. All these things which the Bible says we should do. We do all well to hear, the greatest among you will be your servant. And that's for our own protection. If we kind of praise ourselves, when we should exalt Christ, we will be humbled. That's the promise. And I think everyone has experienced that. I have. But if you are humble in serving other people, you will be exalted. That is the promise. And I began with the Reformation. It was a time when the Western Church had gone off the rails. And God, the Eternal Church, the Eternal Church, brought it back to center. The catch cry was faith alone, Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, the four solos. Solo gratia, solo scriptura, solo gratia, and solo Christus. That was the catch cry. That's where our salvation depends on. And since the Reformation, God, our Heavenly Father, has brought all the churches together. I mean, the Lutherans and the Catholics now often come together. And I've been in, when there was no Catholic, no Lutheran or Anglican church around, when we traveled and been to a church, a Catholic church, and I said, can I get the Holy Communion? And I remember in South Africa, there was this Irish priest, he said, oh, brother, he said, we are so close, why don't please have Holy Communion with us? I said, oh, okay, there we go. What I'm trying to say is the churches have come all together. And often we come together when we have a common enemy. And in Africa, it's anyway slightly different. Denominations don't mean much to the African Christian. If somebody comes who brings a good message, they all go there, because they all see themselves. It's a different attitude. It's a good attitude. All right, we brought together, we serve each other, and the Holy Spirit helps us. The title was, Is the Holy Spirit still reforming us? Yes. all the time. Right now. Right now. He gets you thinking. And when you go away home and you think about something, he's there. He explains to you. And if you didn't know anything, you say, oh, that was nice. He is the one who explains it to you. So we are still in the middle of the Reformation. So let us pray. Lord God, we trust by your Spirit you will always lead your church forward in truth. Guide us and lead us so that your renewing word may give light and truth to the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now I think we sing your great name. Please stand.